Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Got your Bibles this morning? Yeah. Praise God. Well, let's open them. I know everybody says this different, but the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. I know some people say Habakkuk. I say Habakkuk. It's toward the end of your Old Testament, if you're not familiar. If you don't read from Brother Habakkuk very often. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. Actually it was around a year ago. I know we were here, I think, in August of last year. And it was around that time I started sensing what the Lord wanted our theme to be for 2020. Of course, no one knew. Well, I guess some people probably knew by the Spirit, but what would happen in 2020. Usually I start getting things around October, November, and this was in August, and I thought, that's kind of different. But anyway, he said that 2020 would be the year of clear vision. And I kind of knew what that meant, but as I got to studying and looking at things, I got to finding out that I really didn't know what he was meaning by that. So we're going to start here in Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm not going to try to be real long today. And everyone said, yay, praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, or the watchtower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Father, again, thank you for your word today. We just ask you to bless this time. Give us all ears to hear what the Spirit of God will say to us. And again, we thank you for this opportunity. And pray your blessing on Pastor Mark, Sister Phyllis, and this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as the Lord started dealing me about this, and even as I started to preach this the first of this year, one thing he said to me was, some people that are naturally visually impaired see better than those with 20/20 vision. And I'm talking about naturally speaking. In other words, there's some people that maybe their vision, they may even be legally blind, they may even be totally blind, and yet they see or understand things more clearly than people that have 20/20 natural vision. And to go along with that would be, there's some people that are in jail, that are in prison, and they're more free than people that are out walking around. Amen. Because they've made Jesus the Lord of their life. Some of you may have heard, this has been several years ago, maybe heard of a young lady in Texas by the name of Carla Faye Tucker. Carla Faye Tucker killed her husband with a pickaxe. And so that's not a nice person to do that. But in prison, Carla Faye Tucker got born again. And really, it wasn't because she was on death row. She wasn't getting out. So it wasn't a thing of trying to get out of jail. And she got born again, filled with the Spirit, and basically started preaching to anybody that would listen while she's in prison. And, you know, the happy movie story would be, well, and at the last minute the governor called and let her off. No, she died. She was put to death in prison. But the last however long she was alive in that prison, she was more alive and free than a whole lot of people that were walking around out what we call free. And that's what I'm talking about this vision thing. There's some people that you know, they naturally may not be able to see things, but they understand. They have the wisdom of God. They understand what God's trying to get across to us. Amen? Now look at verse 1 real quick. Verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Now, I don't know about you. Watch to see what he will say? You don't hear with your eyes. So he's not just talking about seeing with your eyes. Amen? Watch to see what the Lord says. So here, obviously, this word watch or watching is associated with hearing. Because he's saying what he will say, right? So in this message, when I'm talking about clear vision, I'm not just talking about what you're seeing with your physical eyes, but I'm talking about what you are receiving from God. What instructions are you receiving? What directions, what revelations, what insights are you receiving from God? Now, if you're never spending any time in the Word, you're not getting any. Or if you're spending a little time, then you're getting a little instruction, a little revelation, a little wisdom, a little vision. Amen? And another word I want to throw in here this morning that over the last, I don't know, couple of months, the Lord's really been dealing with me about is the word discernment. We need to operate, let me say it this way. We need to get really developed in our discernment. Our discerner really needs to be developed. Because there's a whole lot of lying going on. There's a whole lot of deception going on. And again, Jesus said, you know, the main sign that Jesus said to look for before he came was deception. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. He said it three or four times, five, six times in Matthew 24. You know, he said earthquakes once. He said famines once. He said wars and rumors. But he said deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Well, you can't be deceived if your discerner is working right. Well, to me, this is part of having this clear vision. I've said it many times over the last 6 months. I do not doubt that there is a virus called COVID-19. I don't doubt that. And I do not doubt that there have been a lot of people that have gotten sick with COVID-19. And I don't even doubt that there's been some people die with COVID-19. But I do doubt a lot of what's been told us about that. Because I believe there's a lot of lying going on. For what reason? I don't know. I don't know. Other than there's a devil and he's a liar. And again, he's trying to cause people to operate in fear. And unfortunately, he's doing a pretty good job at that. I hate to give the old boy a compliment, but he is doing a good job. Even people that I have thought were great faith people have slid over into fear. And, you know, how many people walk around saying, well, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Unless he that's in the world is COVID-19, then I don't think I believe that. See, again, it goes back to having clear vision. Do we really know what we say we know? Do we really believe what we say we believe? Are we really listening to what the Lord says? Are we really discerning what's going on? See, we've got to be to the place where we hear something, hear it on the news, and not in here, but in here in our spirit, man, we know that's a lie. That's not right. Not because somebody else said something different. We just know in here that's not right. I'm not going to believe that. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was a Sunday night. We had the news on. I wanted to see the weather. And 2 weeks ago on Sunday, I don't know how it was down here, it was a beautiful day at our place. You know, it had been hot the day or so before. It was like a front had came through. I mean, it was just a nice day, a nice breeze blowing. Humidity was low. It was so nice. And the lady was going to give it over to the weather person. And this is what she said. She said, oh, it was so sweltering out there today. And both of us together said, no, it wasn't. It was nice. Where were you? Yeah. Amen. But see, it's like, people, the news, especially in a lot of ways, it's just we don't watch much of it, but you got to discern. This is not right. This is not right. You know, why is it this doctor says this? This doctor says just the opposite. Have you ever noticed most people will go after the one that's saying the negative stuff? Have you ever noticed that? You know, just something real simple, and you do whatever you want to do. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me one way or another. But this doctor who has 50 years experience says wear a mask, and this doctor who has 50 years experience says don't wear a mask. Says it'll hurt you. So which one are we going to? Well, for most part, people go to the one that says wear the mask. Why? Because they think I'm doing something instead of just trusting in God to do something. I'll just throw this out there, and if you want to throw something at me, you can. But I heard a doctor who, again, 30-year-plus experience, said this. He said, wearing a mask trying to stop this virus is like building a chain-link fence to stop mosquitoes. I will watch to hear what he will say to me, or to see what he will say unto me. Amen. Now look at verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. Make the vision plain. That word plain, you can translate it to explain or explain it. Make sure people understand what you're saying. The easy to read version says, write it clear. God's Word translation says, make it clear. Thus, make it a clear vision. Make sure people understand what God is trying to say to them. Amen. Make the vision what God says, make it clear. Understand it. It's clear, and so you can run with it. How many of you know you can't run if you don't have clear vision? I don't care if you know where everything is in your house. Tonight, you go to bed, you go to sleep, you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you have to go to the restroom. Unless you turn a light on, I would suggest you not run to the restroom. Why? Because it's dark. You can't see, even though, okay, I know the bed's here, this is here, that's there. You know, no. When you can't see, you can't go very fast. When you don't have clear vision, you're feeling your way. Right? Amen. So that's why he said, make the vision clear so people can run with it. Because if it's not clear, you can't run. Amen. Look at verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Oh, so the vision that God is giving Habakkuk has to do with end times. The time we're living in right now. We're living in, if you don't know it, let me tell you, we're living in the end of the end times. We're living in the last of the last days. Amen. And like I say, if you don't know that, I know you can't come to church here and not know that. Because I know your pastor. You can't come to church here and not know that. Amen. Unless you're just not paying attention. Amen. And so again, it's for the vision describes the end. Now, the New Living Translation, verse 3 reads this way. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. It will come. It will happen. But see, it's happening. And have you ever talked to somebody and you're trying to tell them about this and they say this? I don't see it. I just don't see it. Or I don't see it the way you see it. What's happening? Their vision's not clear. They haven't been taught. Again, you know, I grew up in church and I grew up hearing about, quote, the end of the world. But I didn't grow up hearing really about the rapture of the church. Are you listening? So, you know, over the last 40 plus years, man, I've learned a lot about that and how God is showing us. And of course, you know, 50 years ago when I'm a kid, I just turned 60 this year. You know, when I'm a kid 50 years ago, none of this stuff was going on that's going on now. Right? The stuff that's been going on the last 6 months, I've never seen anything like it. And I've heard different people say, pastors today have never pastored through anything like this before. And unfortunately, a lot of them, their churches probably won't make it. And I hate that. But if you have clear vision and you keep your eye on Jesus and you keep your eye on the Word of God and you keep doing what the Word of God says, then the Word of God works. Again, if greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, then why should I be concerned about what's in the world? Because if greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, then greater is He that's in me than anything He does in the world. And God's not doing COVID-19, so it's of the other He. But the He in me is greater than the He in the world that's doing what He's doing. But see, I got to see that with a clear vision. I got to quit blaming God for the bad stuff. God doesn't do the bad stuff. God does the good stuff. James chapter 1, all good things come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. I've been doing, and maybe, I don't know, maybe some of you have seen it, but I've been doing like a daily little 15-minute live thing on my Facebook page. And I try to say this every day. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord, and the devil's still defeated, and that's never going to change. None of that's ever going to change. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord, and the devil's still defeated. And that's always the way it is. So why am I letting the devil do the things that he's doing? Because I don't have clear vision. I don't understand. See, this is where people get into trouble. They don't understand he doesn't have the right to do what he's doing, and we have the power to stop him from doing what he's doing. Amen? Praise God. All right. So the vision describes the end. Let's look over at Luke. Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12, and go to verse 54. Luke 12, 54. And he said also to the people, when you see, underline the word see, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see, underline see, when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, or you can see, you can understand the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Or again, judge is just another word for discern. Right? Do you notice verse 54 and 55, he used the word see. You see. And as I'm reading that, I've never thought of this before. I can remember being a little kid. How many remember being a little kid, you're outside playing. As far as you're concerned, the world has gone away. You are playing, man. You are involved in that game or whatever you're doing. And finally, mom or grandma or somebody calls, get in here, there's a storm coming. You didn't know there was a storm coming. You weren't paying attention to a storm coming. You was paying attention to this game you're involved in. Is that just me? I heard that more than once. Would you get in the house? There's a storm coming. Well, storms just don't pop up in like a second. The sky starts getting dark and the wind starts blowing and the maple tree leaves turn inside out. And y'all understand what I'm talking about? There are signs to let you know. You know, it's 100 degrees outside and all of a sudden there's a 50 degree wind shift that comes through. These are signs. But man, I'm playing a game. I don't care. Let's just keep going until somebody says, hey, so what's happening? I'm not seeing. Why? I'm not looking. I'm not paying attention. I've got my mind on something else. And that's why so many people today, unfortunately, a lot of people will miss the rapture because they're looking for something else. They're not paying attention to the signs that are going on. See, I'll catch myself sometime thinking, well, you know, if they could do this program and they could help, whatever, and then I'll be reminded, no, the rapture's coming. See, there's even Christians that don't even know the rapture's coming. They don't have this clear vision. They don't see. When you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. When you see the things Jesus said to look at or to see in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and what Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians and, you know, on and on it goes. When you see these things, know that it is coming. Just like when you see that, you know there's a storm coming. When you see these things, know it's coming. But you got to see them. You got to know that they're coming. Amen. Amen. And when you see, then you know we're in the end times. You're there in Luke, going over to chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. There shall be what? Signs. What's the purpose for a sign? To tell you something. But it tells you through your eyes. Right? I'm driving up here. We're driving here today. And, you know, I get to the exit and it says Evansville. I didn't hear something say, Evansville. I saw it with my eyes. I saw a sign. Are you listening? So there'll be signs. You'll see these signs, the sun, the moon, the stars, upon the earth, distress of nations. Are we there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Why are men's hearts failing them for fear? Because they are looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They're looking at the wrong things. They're looking at the things that are coming on the earth as disasters instead of looking at the things that are coming on the earth as signs that something big and good is about to happen. And instead of being down and out and distressed and depressed and oppressed and dismayed and all of that, no, this is a sign not of my destruction. This is a sign of my soon deliverance. Amen. So you got to understand the signs. Amen? Yeah, you know, if you're a driver, you know this. Even numbered interstates goes what direction? East and west. Odd numbers. Tammy's going, I didn't know that. Well, see, now you've learned something today by coming to church. Amen. Odd numbers. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to have to charge for my driver's education class here today. The CD's going places. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, but obviously these people didn't know this. So see, that sign really, other than they know, okay, that's the number of the road. But obviously if I want to go north or south and I see an even numbered interstate, I know I don't want to get on that one. Why? I know the signs. Huh. How about that? Wow. That's pretty awesome. Anyway, it sure does. Yeah, it sure does. Goes north too. Yep. Amen. That's why we're here, to help people. That's right. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things. Looking, 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 seeing, looking. See, that's why I'm saying, don't look at the news very much. News. Because as I've heard my pastor say, there's really not much news on there anyway. You can get all the news in about 5 minutes. The rest of it's opinion. Like Pastor Barkley said, well, he talked about it when he was here back in June, because he talked about it at our place too. The prophets of the land, talking about, you know, well, what do you see coming? I don't care what you see coming. You know, unless you're born again, spirit filled, then I care what you see coming, but I don't think most of those people on there are. Amen? The word looking there, if you're keeping notes, that can also be translated expecting. See, what you look at is what you end up expecting. Amen. I don't care which news you want to watch, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, I mean, whatever. Doesn't, ABC, CBS, NBC, doesn't matter. All of those different ones are going to come with a slant. So what you look at and what you put in through your eyes and through your ears, that's what you're going to expect. We need to spend more time hearing the Word of God. Then we're hearing what the world is saying, what the prophets of the land are saying. We need to hear what the prophets of the Lord are saying, what the preachers are saying, the true preachers of God, because then our expectation will change. Right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's just read on down through here. Verse 27. And then shall they, oh, there's that word again, see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. And I just wrote in my Bible here, not down. Look up, not down. Too many people looking down, looking at the world. Look up. Now, that doesn't mean we walk around with our, you know, like this, naturally. I'm talking about in your heart. Look up. Amen. You know, what was it, Colossians? Paul wrote the Colossians, set your mind on things above. Look up. Amen. I'm not expecting to go down. I'm expecting to go up. I'm not expecting, like I said, to be destroyed. I'm expecting to be delivered. I'm not expecting disease. I'm expecting health and healing and strength. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, comes back to your vision. Comes back what you're focusing on. As long as Peter focused on Jesus, he walked on water. But he lost his focus. And he started looking at the trouble. He started looking at COVID-19. He started looking at race riots. He started looking at vandalism. He started looking at this stuff, and it brought fear. Men's hearts fear, failing them for fear for looking on those things. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you sensed it. The first couple nights when we were up at the conference here a couple weeks ago, and Pastor was even, you know, man, if y'all don't get your amen or fixed. And it was like the Lord said, it's like everybody's just beat down. Not saying we can't rise up, but for most of us, we hadn't been in a conference in 6 months, 5 months. And it's just like, because every day it was like you heard something else and you'd hear something else and you'd hear something else. And you know, and I know you dealt with it. We dealt with it. You know, if you get somebody in your church that gets a positive test done, oh, now what do we do? How do we handle this? What, you know, it's like you're constantly trying to figure things out. Amen? So what's the devil trying to do? Trying to push us down. He's trying to change your vision. Trying to cloud your vision. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, are we operating in faith or are we operating in fear? Amen. Like I said, we can see what's coming. And we don't deny what's going on. No, there's no COVID-19. No, there is. There is. But like I said, there's a whole lot of lying going on about that too. Amen. And all the time they're getting caught at inflating numbers and this really wasn't right. That wasn't right. All the time. And that's one of my main prayers been the last 6 months. Anything hidden, revealed. Anything done in the dark, brought to the light. And we keep seeing that. And we keep seeing that. And we keep seeing that. We keep doing what? Seeing that. Amen. See, what's the world trying to do? The world's trying to give you a vision. But see, God's already given us a vision. So we can do what the world says or we can do what God says. But again, it depends on our vision. Again, what is that? That box that sits in your living room or your bedroom or wherever it is and it's got a remote control and you turn it on, you turn it off. What's that thing called? A television. What is that box doing? It is telling you a vision. This is what you need to believe. This is what you need to think. Unfortunately, they're doing that in schools now and in universities. This is what you need to think. Oh, this is what you thought before. No, that's wrong. You don't need to think that way. What are they trying to do? Change the vision. They're trying to change the vision. Amen. But we got to stick with this vision. And that's why God said, make it plain, make it clear. Amen. In these last days, I believe this, the people that have clear spiritual vision, amen. You know, in Ephesians, what, chapter 1, where he said that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Not these eyes, the eyes of our understanding. Amen. Well, I understand what's going on. There's a devil. I understand what's going on. There's signs that Jesus said look for. I understand what's coming on. There's a trumpet about to blow and an angel about to shout and say, come up here and we're going to go up there and forever be with the Lord. See, that's my vision. That's what I'm looking for. I heard Brother Dwight Thompson say years ago, he said, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Amen. See, but you got to be looking up, not looking down. Quit being consumed with the earth. Quit being consumed with the world. Amen. When we're led by the Spirit and we're full of the Word of God, then we clearly see what Scripture says about the end times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Come on, real quick. Let's go over there. My time's going. I'm not going to try to be real long today. Another couple hours, I'll be finished and it'll all be good. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Please, I'm teasing. Yeah. They'll go to lunch without me and Y'all will go to lunch without me probably, and I'll just stand here and keep preaching. Anyway, praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at this. Of course, at the end of chapter 4, he's talked about the rapture of the church, and, you know, verse 18, you know, everybody be terrified because of these words. Oh, is that what it says? That's how a lot of people think about it. He said, no, comfort one another with these words. Now, no, we're not looking, you know, I don't want to go till it's time to go. You know, like the old saying goes, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to go right now. Right? I want to stay here as long as we're supposed to stay here. Because that means there's more people to minister to and help and hopefully get them ready to go to heaven. Right? But when it's time to go, I'm ready to go. Amen. And so that, to me, that's a comfort that as bad as this world is, like the old song says, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. And if you're under 40, don't worry about that. But, you know, that is a song. It really was a real song. Amen. Praise God. So then we get to 1 Thessalonians 5, the first word of verse 1, but. Well, you don't start a new thought with but. This is a continuation of what's he been talking about, the rapture of the church. But of the times and the seasons, what, of the rapture of the church? Brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. How many of us always heard that? Yeah, well, you know, you never know when God's coming, Jesus is coming, he's just going to come as a thief in the night. Read on. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, who's he talking to? Born again, spirit-filled Christians. You, born again, spirit-filled Christians, are not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Now, I don't think we will ever know that, you know, today's the day at 2:03 in the afternoon Jesus is coming. I don't think we will know that. But I think we will know, it's getting pretty close. And we may even know more than that because Elijah, who wasn't even born again, knew today's the day I'm leaving. Right? And he was raptured out. He didn't die. He was raptured out. So if somebody that's still dead spiritually knew, and not only did he know, the sons of the prophets who didn't know much anything knew. They even told Elisha, don't you know God's going to take your father away from you today? Now, these are people who don't even know God, yet they knew a rapture was about to happen. So I'm not going to stand here and tell you, yes, I believe we will know the day or the hour, but I'm not going to tell you we won't. Jesus said, no man knows. He didn't say no man would ever know. You do with that whatever you want to do with it. Isn't that right? When Jesus spoke those words, no man knows the day nor the hour, but he did not say no man would ever know. Now, I don't think one man's going to know. I think if you're going, you're going to know. Now, whether you know the day and the hour, I don't know. So, but you'll know, and I don't know. And we'll know, and everybody will know. And we'll have clear vision about the whole thing. I heard myself, and it was like I kept saying, no, and no. Anyway, whatever. Come on, let's get through this. Amen. But notice what it says. That day should not overtake you as a thief. It shouldn't surprise you. Why? You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Why? In the night and the darkness, you can't see. Amen? You know, I should have said this earlier. Do you remember what the guy was called? The guy that stood on the wall in the middle of the night, he was called a watchman. Right? But he always heard things before he would see things. Because he couldn't see because of the dark. What would he say? Hark! Who goes there? Meaning what? He heard something. He heard something. Amen? Hark! Who goes there? What's going on? If we got clear vision, we know. We're not of the darkness. We're not of the night. We are of the day. We are of the light. We are children of the light. Amen? Now, if it was pitch dark in here, I know you got windows and stuff, but if everything was covered up and it was pitch dark in here and we put a sign up, not like a light, it's just a sign on the wall, it's pitch dark, you wouldn't see it. If I took a flashlight and put it on there, then you could see it. Why? You would be a person of the light. Are you here? See, this is what we're talking about. Make the vision plain. Now, what's our part to do in this? Real quick, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Within the last year, I didn't understand that verse. Because I'm thinking, everybody he was talking to is dead and gone. And, you know, the kingdom of God with power. See, I just had a different idea of what that meant. But he says, he didn't say everybody, he says there are some standing here that will not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God, right? Verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up, underline those three words, leads them up into a high mountain apart, underline the word apart, by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he knew not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore except Jesus only with themselves. What did Peter, James, and John see? They saw the kingdom of God and power. Jesus transfigured for just those few, however long it was, few minutes maybe, they saw not the earthly Jesus, they saw Jesus in all his glory. Right? And they even saw those that had gone on, that came down to talk with him. Man, they saw over into the heavenly realm. Now again, remember, they're not born again yet. They're still dead spiritually. Yet they're seeing over into this heavenly kingdom, this godly kingdom realm. Now, why did they see it? Go back to verse 2. He took Peter, James, and John and led them up into a high mountain apart. Right? Now, if you read it this over in the Gospel of Luke, it's chapter 9, and you don't need to turn there. When it says Elijah and Moses came, it says they saw them. They use the word saw in the book of Luke. So what happened? They saw it with their eyes. They had a vision. Now, it wasn't a vision. They were really there, but you understand what I'm saying? Vision. They saw this. Now, why did they see it? Jesus led them up into a high mountain apart. Do you remember when Moses is out on the backside of the desert and he's watching his father-in-law's sheep and he sees this bush burning up there, and notice while where he is, he doesn't hear anything. All he sees is the bush burning. And what does Moses say? I will turn aside and go up and see this thing. And then once he turned aside and he went up to see the thing, then God spoke to him through that bush. What if he had stayed down with the sheep? He wouldn't have heard the voice of God. He wouldn't have got any instructions from God. Why did Peter, James, and John see Jesus in His glory, see Elijah and Moses, see all of this stuff that they saw, see over into the spiritual realm? Why did they see that? Because they didn't stay down where they were. They went with Jesus apart up into a high place. Anybody will tell you, anybody that's been in the military, anybody that's really been anywhere, if you want to see something, you got to get up higher. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because of the crowd. What did he do? He climbed a tree. Right? You go to a park somewhere and you go to the fire tower. You know where I'm from, you say fire tar. Nobody knows what you're talking about. So you can say, yeah, the fire tar. Amen. We'll go over here. Where are you going? We're going over here to the fire tar. Amen. Yeah. It's like that old joke, you know, people say that the wise men, they were firefighters. Well, as it says, they came from afar. Praise God. Anyway, a fire tower. Have you ever noticed? Those are high. They're not just a couple of steps. No, what? You get up so you can see what's going on. Right? The higher you get, the more distance you can see. The more you can see. So again, Moses went up, saw the bush, but now heard from the bush. God in the bush, talking through the bush. How many disciples did Jesus have at this time? 12. Took 3. Where's the other 9? They're still down there. They're still down there in the crowd trying to cast a demon out of a boy. They couldn't do it. Why? They couldn't see how to do it. They hadn't gone up. They hadn't separated. See, what did Peter, James, and John do? They separated from the crowd. They had to get out of the world situation. See, if they had stayed down there, they wouldn't have seen Elijah and Moses and Jesus transfigured either. Why? Because none of those people down there saw it. Amen? Can you handle one more verse? Isaiah 2. Thank you for being patient. Y'all are really good listeners too. Isaiah 2. Verse 2. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Say, we're there. So this scripture we're reading here applies to us today. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So in the last days, we're told, if you want to hear the word of God, if you want to grow in the things of God, you can't stay where you are. You have to go up. Why does the devil, and this has been going on for years, why does the devil fight so hard to keep people out of church? Because in the last days, the church is established in the high place. And if you get up to the true church, where the Word of God's being preached, then your vision is going to become clear. You're going to understand things that the people that aren't up on that mountain, they're not going to understand. Oh, there's a lot of people going to church buildings, but they're still down there in the bottom of the valley. They need to get up to the true house of God, where the Word of God's really being preached, where people's vision are being sharpened. Amen? Praise God. You can't stay down with the rest of the world and expect to have the visions of God. When I say visions, I'm not talking about like spooky, ooh, I had a vision. No, I'm just talking about seeing clearly. Oh, that's what the Word means. Oh, this is what's going to happen according to the Word. Amen. Again, the other disciples are still down in the valley with this crowd, and they're trying to, they don't know how to cast the devil out. Why? Because they don't have clear vision. They don't know what to do. But see, when you come to church, especially a church like this, and the Word of God is being preached, you have to come out of the crowd to do that. Every one of you here today could have been somewhere else. Is that right? And probably other people that are not here today are somewhere. Same way at my church and home. Right? Y'all chose to be here. Meaning what? You came out of the world for this hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, and you went up to a high place. Now, see, we're not talking about naturally. No. You're on the same level here as everybody else, physically. But in here and in here, you've gone up. You've separated. You came out of the world for these hour and a half, whatever it is. And so, guess what? Whether this be good or bad, whatever you're getting here today, I believe it's good, but, you know, you be the judge of that. But the thing is, anybody out there that's playing tennis somewhere, they ain't getting what you're getting. They're still doing, or if they're at Walmart, or if they're at the grocery store, they're not getting what you're getting. Why? They're doing what the crowd's doing. So their vision's not being clear. Are you listening? But see, when I come to church, when I come where the Word's preached, then I learn how to believe things, because how can I believe in something I haven't heard? And how can I hear it unless somebody preaches it? See, that's what happens when I go up to the high mountain. Are you listening to me? God gives me a pastor, and that pastor gives me understanding and knowledge. Well, what's understanding? Clear vision. You have a pastor that's preaching the Word, even when there's those times you don't agree with what they say. That's all right. Keep going anyway. Keep coming anyway. Keep listening anyway. Amen? Because I'll guarantee. See, here's the thing. A true pastor is not preaching what they're preaching down in the crowd. Because you know what they're preaching down in the crowd? Why they're preaching? To keep the crowd. A true pastor is trying to correct your vision and help your vision. Amen? Just let me close with this. And I'm not going to turn there for time's sake. You all know it. Again, you're well taught here. 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, where he says, to your faith add virtue, to virtue add knowledge, and all the way down. And then you get down to verse 10, it says, he that doeth these things shall never fall. Well, you know, poor vision will cause people to fall. And what the Lord showed me, how many here has ever been to what just an eye doctor and had your eyes examined? Anybody here ever had that happen? You know, they put that big thing in front of you, the big round thing, you know? Yeah. And then they put the letters up there. And then, okay, does it look better out of one? Or two? I don't really know. Okay, let's try it again. One or two? Three or four? I think it's just one or two all the time, but they just change the numbers, right? Seven or eight? 115, 116, you know, whatever, right? And then they'll start, okay, and so then they'll flip. And every time they flip, you hear this click, click. When I read 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 4, add to your faith, click, virtue, click, knowledge, click, and on it goes down through that list. And if I do those things, says I'll never fall. Why? I will have perfect vision. If I'm doing what the Word of God says do, I'll have perfect vision. Now, what is that doctor trying to do? Give you where you can see clearly. See, that's what good pastors are doing. Amen? And I just got new glasses here back in, I think it was June. Doctor goes through all this stuff and, goes through all the tests, all that jazz. And she had to go out of the room for a minute. And I had my old glasses on. And I'm sitting there and the letters are still up there on the screen. And I'm sitting there looking at it going, I mean, they're just fuzzy. Literally, this is what I did. I'm sitting there. And I shifted my head like that much. So instead of looking straight through the glasses like this, I shifted my head that much, and now I'm looking like, you know, off center a little bit through the glasses. Perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. You're talking about less probably than a quarter of an inch. Perfectly clear. See, it doesn't necessarily take a huge adjustment. Sometimes it just takes a little tweaking. But see, God knows what we need. And God wants us to have that clear vision so we don't miss the rapture. We don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss the protection of God while we're still here. We don't want to miss the blessing of God while we're still here. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Today, when we hear or see the news, we should see how the prophecies are being fulfilled and how we can escape. We need to get ready. We need to stay ready. We have clear vision to escape and be delivered from God's wrath to come. Amen. If you don't understand, if it's not clear to you, then you can't run with it. And that's what he said. Make it plain so they can run with it. Amen? Praise God. Stand with me, would you please? Praise God. Hallelujah. Had the Lord say this to me back again, first part of the year when I was preaching this. He said, clear vision removes all doubts. Again, think about it. It's pitch dark in here. Everybody look up here a minute. And I know there's a step here someplace, but it's pitch dark. Now, you know, after a while, your eyes will kind of adjust a little bit. But I'm talking about no light at all, no exit lights, just black as the inside of a cave. And somebody says, okay, let's go. Now, I know I got to get off this step. Pitch black, pitch dark, can't see anything. Well, I'm not just going to, because I'm going to end up on my face. What am I going to do? Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Right? I'm going to have to feel my way. I just can't go. So clear vision removes all doubts. Oh, there it is. I can go. In confidence, I'm not going to fall on my face. Right? So what I want to pray about, if you all would, please just bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want to pray for you to have, for your vision to be clear. Amen. I just want your vision to be clear. God wants your vision to be clear. Why? Because we are in messed up times. And there are landmines everywhere. There's traps set everywhere. There's snares set everywhere. And we need to be able to see those. It goes back to that discernment. We need to be able to know, no, don't go this way. Don't go that way. You know, and you all have heard these reports. I mean, there's places where there's people just stopping cars and pulling people out of them and even killing them. Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to know, to have that discernment that God says, don't go that way. Don't go that way. See, we're not just talking about rapture getting out of here. We're talking about surviving and thriving even while we're here. See, that's all part of the vision, of having that vision. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.